This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated, insightful financial analysis. If you are looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live from the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on there. Great to have you along today. Biz Talk Radio Network, iHeartRadio, nationwide coast to coast, and American Forces Radio Network in 175 countries. And all the ships at sea. Let's not forget our television audience on U2 America and Biz TV on Time Warner Cable and Spectrum and all the other cable stations. And, of course, you can also watch us online on all of the Biz VOD and U2 Go, as well as Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Roku, and Biz TV networks. Good to have you there. Russ is back in a few days. We're going to look at that Walmart stock in a little bit, and then I'm going to talk to Will Waldrop from EVO Labs today, as well as Matt Moore from Interscope Hearing. But I want to talk to James Herson. James Herson, of course, is a contributing editor over at Newsmax. He's a law professor at Biola. He's written a couple of books, one of which called Hollywood Nation and Tales from the Left Coast. There's his column on Newsmax. But before we get to the Trump border story, James, I got to ask you this Jesse Smollett story. This Make America Great almost lynching that wasn't. This hoax that happened is so interesting. And since you're the Hollywood guy, we have to ask you about two sides of this thing. A, what's the word on the street? Because he not only hoaxed or tried to hoax law enforcement, but he also hoaxed a bunch of celebrities. And what's going to happen to this kid?
He hoaxed a bunch of celebrities, and he affects the entertainment business. I mean, he is a cast member on a very successful show called Empire that has already cut a bunch of his scenes, and the rumor was he was on the bubble, and he thought that his role was going to be cut out of the show, and that might have been a motive for this, what appears to be, you know, a fake hate crime. And this is a very serious crime, you know, in a city like Chicago that happens to be my hometown, where they have now record numbers of homicides in the city. When somebody fakes a report to the police where resources have to be used,
sure,
that could be saving lives, that's very serious. And it looks to me like this case could be headed to a grand jury. The way the police are kind of releasing little nuggets, these two guys from Nigeria, who basically are kind of like the old Saturday Night Live, you know, we will bump you up, two bodybuilders.
Yeah, sure.
The word is, from reports that are credible, that these two guys flipped on Jesse Smollett, meaning that they're cooperating with prosecutors, that they're admitting that they were paid thousands of dollars to fake this, that it was rehearsed. There's a letter, the postal inspectors are involved, a letter that preceded the attack that appears to come from Jesse Smollett. So now he's lawyered up. He has a big-name defense counsel. Actually, it's Michael Cohen's lawyer, not Lanny Davis, but actually the real lawyer. And they're telling, I believe, Jesse Smollett, that's why we're getting these reports, that he doesn't want to talk to police, that he doesn't want to talk to anyone. That's typical instruction from a lawyer. And basically, yeah, a lot of the celebrities, matter of fact, there is a celebrity who I know and work with who originally told me about this story, was so disturbed about it. And my reaction was, if it's true, it's horrible. And the person or persons who did it should be investigated, prosecuted, and ultimately go to jail.
Sure.
Well, now this guy, to his credit, says to me, based on what I'm reading, Jesse Smollett should be investigated, prosecuted, and go to jail.
There's a legal question there, James. Let's face it. There's two things. You, as to your point, he took resources away from the Chicago Police Department. That was money that was spent, and you probably that you know it goes into tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, there was a search warrant issued at some point. So he's wasted court time, he's wasted police time. You know, the press was so eager to jump on this, as were other celebrities. That some celebrity, and I don't want to get well. We might as well talk about it now. The celebrities are now saying, "Well, I'm not taking the police for there because the police are racist." So I'm not going to. So you know, obviously, you know, anything to deflect the fact that they were hoaxed. My question though is, can this kid go to jail for this? I mean, he'll probably lose his job. It'll probably be a. It'll probably. It seems though, anyway, that this whole thing was just a hoax. So can this kid go to jail, or can he be responsible financially?
Both under the law, if this is a felony, he could do serious time, many years in prison, and the court can, usually there are statutes with false reports where restitution is made, and he's fined the equivalent of the costs of the various costs you mentioned, which are high. There's a lot of people saying that because he's African-American, because he's gay, because he's this double beleaguered minority, that somehow he'll be given a pass in these politically correct times. That would be wrong, because that sends a message that it's okay to fake hate crimes, and it certainly is not. And we've had enough of this in our society. I mean, we have a guy who has a show on MSNBC, Al Sharpton, who was involved in with a woman that he was promoting that claimed a rape that turned out to be false. That was Tawana Brawley. He's never had his comeuppance on that, you know, Al Sharpton. Some would say he was rewarded. And we have this whole history of false reporting about various kinds of hate crimes or hate speech or hate gestures when it involves President Trump. Because, as Laura Logan has now pointed out, we have a media that's taken a stand. We have an anti-Trump media. And their number one question when they're filtering stories is this going to help Trump or hurt Trump? If it helps Trump, we'll bury it. If it hurts Trump, we'll magnify it. Yeah. That's what made this story go viral. And Jussie Smollett knew it because he said in his story, he claimed there were these white Trump supporters wearing MAGA hats, talking about making America great again, and then, of course, disparaging him with bleach and a rope. Very imaginative. The problem with the story, though, the premise made no sense to begin with. 2 a.m., below zero, frigid weather in a city of Chicago, which is decidedly anti-Trump. Sure. Chicago is a Democrat stronghold, that somehow these guys would be MAGA hat wearing Trump supporters who watch Empire. Trevor Noah on Comedy Central said that's like the Klan buying tickets for Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, no, exactly right.
So he's getting hit by Dave Chappelle and Trevor Noah. I mean, Jussie is, and a lot of the celebrities that were burned have the at least the honesty to come back and say, hey, you know, if this guy burned me, then he should go down. But the politicians are the worst. Nancy Pelosi deletes her tweet without comment.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris, when confronted by reporters, she had called this a modern-day lynching.
Yeah.
Wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, Booker said much the same. So they're hiding, and they won't talk about it. And much of the press is the same too.
I'll tell you, I got a hand to Alyssa Milano, and I rarely do. She actually said no one could be that hurtful to stage this, right? And she said something to mess with us by playing into our weaknesses. This could be the worst thing ever. He's not going to have very many friends in Hollywood after this is over. This is the modern day Milli Vanilli, only much worse. This wasn't just mouthing words to a song and voice tracking. This was actually taking up resources. I got to believe that the courts are not. I mean, if this gets in front of a judge, judges are going to be ticked off, especially because there was a search warrant and the court's time was wasted.
Yeah, the question is, as always, a judge will be mad, but the question is going to be a jury composed of people from Chicago with high-powered defense lawyers. So the prosecution is going to have proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And it can't be just the testimony of the two Nigerian guys, because they're too easy for a good defense lawyer to argue to the jury, hey, these guys are just saving their rear end.
Sure.
So, but Jussie Smollett wouldn't produce his cell phone. There's going to be texts, phone calls. There's going to be other witnesses. And if that corroborating evidence comes forward, then I think the defense lawyer won't be successful and Jussie Smollett will end up convicted.
Yeah. Stay right there, James. I want to talk to you about, Trump signed the border wall legislation. He also declared a national emergency. And as he predicted, lawsuits are coming out already. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is involved. Did he predict this, or is he trying to stretch this out? This is actually a pretty good tactic. I'm going to talk to James Hurston about that in just a second. Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com. Stand by. More James Hurston coming up.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Hey, Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com. Great to have you on today. Boy, lots of stuff to talk about with James Hurston, jameshurston.com, Left Coast Report on Newsmax. James, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about this legislation, this bipartisan legislation, which some people think is a great deal, some people think is a bad deal. But long story short, Donald Trump sort of called this thing all along. He knew that he had to sign this thing because he wanted to avoid a government partial government shutdown. He also said on the platform the other day that he was going to that he had signed a national emergency. He said the lawsuits will come. They'll file them in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and everything he has talked about certainly has come true. So let's talk about where we're at, and if lawsuits are filed, do you think that his national emergency will stand?
Bottom line, I do believe under the law it should, and I think it will ultimately when it reaches the United States Supreme Court, which I predict it will go there, because there are 16 lawsuits already. It's an avalanche of lawsuits led by California in the Ninth Circuit, which routinely rules wrongly. So they'll find a federal judge who, in a matter of probably a week or a week and a half, will issue an injunction, and then it'll be appealed. It'll be on a fast track, but it still might take a couple of months to get heard by the Supreme Court. And there's basically two areas of law here. One is legislation that was passed in 1976, which ironically was trying to restrain presidential power in the area of national emergencies. Congress basically, under this legislation, has to renew it every year, and they can terminate a national emergency. But if they try to do that, President Trump will veto it, and they'll need a supermajority to override the veto, and they won't have it. And so what's going to happen is it's going to go up the court system, and it's ultimately going to win. And I mentioned two things. One is that act specifically, Congress authorizes an emergency under these circumstances and authorizes the funds to be repurposed. That's the kind of language that's used. And in addition, the president, under our founding documents, gets very broad powers when it comes to who enters or stays in the United States of America. It's part of his foreign policy powers as commander-in-chief. And that those two things, combined with the fact that in 2006, Congress passed legislation to spend money on a border barrier. Now, you put all that together, there's just too many powerful arguments for the president's lawyers to win in the United States Supreme Court. Even Judge Roberts won't go too far off the reservation And it may be a 5-4, but I think Trump will win this one.
So at the and by the way, right now he can pull money from the deal that was struck last week, which I think is $1.3 billion or something like that. Plus he's got DEA drug money forfeiture money he can use, which is, you know, $500 million. And then he's got some. I mean, so he can start building right today if he wants to, with the money he has in place. Isn't that right?
No, that's true. Well, yeah, absolutely he can. And he will start, but then I predict, you know, this injunction will come down. Then I believe the administration will continue to build using the money that's already been allocated, but they'll at the same time appeal. And look, from a political point of view, the president had no choice but to declare this state of emergency and repurpose the funds, because he has to show his people, his base, that he will try everything he can to fulfill his promise, which was a central promise of his campaign, which is why the Democrats are opposing it, because sure. Democrats don't oppose a border barrier because it's immoral, because they have so much compassion. They oppose a border barrier because they hate the president, don't want him to have a victory, number one. Number two, border barriers work, and they don't like things that actually curtail people coming over the border who are their potential voters.
Yeah, that comes down. Do you have any comments on former acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe? He was on 60 Minutes last night. A lot of people think he should be prosecuted for his interview on 60 Minutes, or I think it was last week, and he basically.
Well, I think it's an amazing moment in American history where someone who is at those high levels of law enforcement and the Justice Department basically admitting that they're going to misuse the 25th Amendment, which is a misuse. They were plotting and conspiring against the president, that he launched a counterintelligence investigation with no evidence. And the interview was miserable because it didn't ask any questions about the dossier, the insurance policy, the texts of Strzok and Page, nothing. And so 60 Minutes ought to be ashamed of themselves, first of all, for giving this guy a way to make all kinds of money by selling books, but secondly, by giving him a softball interview like that. Now, you know, he's going on friendly places. You know, he's going to go on that really hardball place, The View.
Yeah, right.
To get interviewed. So he's doing the same thing Comey did. He'll probably be on Stephen Colbert next.
He denied that there was any he says that there was no congressional objection to starting an investigation. Well, Jim Jordan denies that. So he basically lied last night, as well as lying in front of Congress, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we have a he said situation, because we've got Rosenstein and McCabe pointing at each other, saying his version of the story is wrong. So one of them is lying, for sure. But probably it's McCabe, because McCabe is the guy. There's a grand jury investigation on McCabe. There's an inspector general referral to the Justice Department for criminal investigation. And part of the investigation is based on his lack of veracity. So this guy is a disgraced former official. But yet I heard panelists on CNN calling him a patriot.
Of course.
And a hero.
Of course. And of course, the deep state trickery continues, at least the story does, and we'll see what happens. And Robert Mueller is going to have some sort of an October or November surprise, probably right before the election. This thing could go on for another 2 years, James. In fact, I predict that it will. James, thank you so much. James Hurston, Hurston on Hollywood. Newsmax, JamesHurston.com, The Left Coast Report, Hollywood Nation, as well as Tales from the Left Coast. Coming up in just a second, I'm going to talk to Will Waldrop from Evio Labs. Lots of stuff going on in the U.S. versus Canada in the cannabis market. And then I want to revisit with Matt Moore over at Interscope Hearing. So we're going to peek inside a couple of publicly traded companies today before we take off. And Dow Jones, NASDAQ, and S&P today all of a sudden going sideways. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Did Rusty just come in studio? Did I see that? Nails walked in a half hour late? Perfect. So Russ will be with us as well. Big Biz Show. BigBizShow.com. By the way, coming up tomorrow, you're going to love this. Tom Del Beccaro and John Labudier on the same show. talking business of politics. Big Biz Show, back in a second. Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates, and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about, interviewing, or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org.
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Hey there, Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com. Great to have you along today. So we were talking about this disparity in readiness to make cannabis legal. And the reason we spend a fair amount of time recently talking about this vertical, you know, really is because it comes down to the fact that it's a new investment vertical, and it's coming, whether you like it or not. It's just, imagine if alcohol was suddenly viable, and this new company called Constellation Brands was out there to take over the world, and they were, $2 stock at the time. You know, Constellation Brands is buying companies for $1 billion now. So this is really, it could be, kind of a pioneer sort of vertical. So it's worthwhile taking a look at. One company that's not exactly in this cannabis industry, however, is serves the cannabis industry is Evio Labs, EVIO. Inc. is their, or EVOLabs.com, beg your pardon, is their website, and they're a premier provider of analytical testing and such. Will Waldrop is the CEO. Will, I got to ask you, just for the folks that haven't seen you or heard you, what in your mind is the key difference between how Canada handled their legalization of medical and recreational cannabis and what we're doing here in the States?
Well, the key difference is this. In Canada, it was federally legal. Medical marijuana was legalized about 4 years ago, and then of course October 17th of 2018, they legalized recreational, and they did it on a federal basis. So regardless of which province you're in, cannabis is legal to consume, to acquire, to go to a doctor, to get a medical prescription. Where the U.S., we're very, very fragmented right now. We have 33 states that have some element of a medical marijuana program, some state run, some CBD only programs, 9 states that have a recreational program. There's no interstate commerce of product. It's very difficult to operate in the states today.
Well, did Canada have the same sort of face the same challenges the U.S. did? I mean, was there a ramp up period, or did just all of a sudden they decided? I mean, was there a fight among factions there, like there sort of is here in the states, or was it a different sort of trajectory?
Well, a little bit different trajectory, right? If you think about Canada prior to their current Medical Marijuana Act, actually had, on a province basis, individual different policies that, there were medical growers, if you will, caregivers that were able to grow product for their patients, if you will. But when they came out federally, they did it right. They legalized it federally, nationally, so it was a very state standard that everyone had to follow.
So with respect to state standards, that's where we start the story with you folks, because right now you operate 11 testing facilities in North America, including one in Canada. And let's talk about that, because this is where the standardization comes through. This is where the piece of the puzzle that isn't in place where it really needs to be. I mean, even things like childproof packaging fall below testing, but that also needs to be done as well. Talk about where you guys, what you guys are doing specifically here in the States and up north.
Absolutely. Our biggest focus right now is consistency, labeling, and packaging. And that is ensuring that what you see on a package is what's in the product. So where we operate in Oregon, California.
Oh, we lost Will there. His feed went down. Basically, what he's talking about is standardization. And that's the one piece of this thing that's a little dicey so far, is because if you think in terms of everything that needs to become in place, and when you think in terms of cannabis infrastructure, you know, like in California here, when we went, I think it was this year, we went absolutely legal on everything. The infrastructure piece was the part that's missing. And I think the one thing that you have to realize is that, again, as I said before, with respect to even, you know, ripping open a Splenda, ripping open or popping a Keurig cup in, or even going to a drive-through, all of that is regulated by the FDA. Or even if you pop open a beer, that's regulated by alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. And what we don't have in place, other than the DEA, which is a drug enforcement agency, which, by the way, overlooks your prescription drugs along with the FDA, but there's the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. So I'm assuming that somewhere between the DEA and the FDA, we're going to see some sort of governing body that's going to come in and sort of, you know, wave the magic wand and say that, you know, and say that we're going to be the regulators. So we have Will back, luckily. Will, my question is, you know, right now, there, you know, just like you've got an FDA for, you know, in consumer affairs for the food that you buy in a grocery store, if you're going to go to a liquor store, you've got the ABC and Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms that are covering, you know, kind of the licensing and what's going in the bottles and cans. There really isn't, I guess there has to be an organization somewhere between the FDA and the DEA that's going to overlook this and is going to give the nod. Is there any sort of talk about that sort of infrastructure on a governmental basis, Will, that you're hearing about?
Well, in Canada, Health Canada actually provides that guidance to all the testing companies as well as the licensed producers in the country. Whereas in the U.S. today, we're seeing a little bit of the FDA involvement now coming in with the recent passing of the Farm Bill. But prior to that, it was really up to each individual state to define their programs in which they needed to adhere to. So, you know, in California, you have the Bureau of Cannabis Commission that relies on the California Department of Ag. In Oregon, you have the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, that relies on the Oregon Health Authority. And sometimes these states cooperate and collaborate. Sometimes they don't. So you just right now have to understand how to operate properly within each one of the respective states.
What's next for you guys? What's the opportunity that lies ahead for Evio Labs? Because obviously it's a new frontier. I mean, it's almost the wild, wild west here, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, our next focus really is focusing on Canada, California, and Massachusetts. Those are the three largest marketplaces right now that are, you know, have just all moved into rec in the last 12 months. California, of course, went recreational January 1st of 2018. Canada, 3 months ago. Massachusetts had their first two recreational stores open in November. This is where we're seeing the biggest growth opportunities, and this is where Evio is expending its resources today to meet that market demand.
Do you think that we're going to have any nudging here? And I ask you this question almost every time you're on the air with us. Talk about the banking model, because it seems like because we have a very standard banking system, especially with the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which insures deposits up to $250,000 in banks, meaning that if you lose it, there's insurance to cover it. If you are within legal guidelines of federal government guidelines, your insurance is good at the bank. If a bank does business with an entity that is not federally compliant with every law, i.e. cannabis companies, obviously, you know, there's a lot of cannabis companies that can't bank with Bank of America or Wells Fargo or something like that. That's causing many businesses that are legitimate to become, let's face it, that go into a money laundering business. Is there any movement on that? And we've got a new attorney general coming in place here. You think that's going to change anytime soon?
Well, it's going to be more than just the Attorney General, right? It's the recent change in the House. Of course, about 3 weeks ago, Representative Earl Blumenauer from Oregon put together Bill H.R. 420. Last Friday, Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon as well put together a Senate Bill S-420. Of course, correlation there, 420. But it's going to take a federal legalization to free up the banking. Yes, there are some banks that have deploy the compliance teams that really allow certain cannabis companies to operate with a bank, but the costs are enormous. You know, 3 to 5% of your deposit, $500 a month maintenance fees. A lot of these smaller cannabis companies just can't afford that.
Yeah, and, so, and fingers crossed that things are going to change in another direction. Will, thank you so much. Will Waldrop, Evio Labs, eviolabs.com. Accredited testing services and, for California, Colorado, Florida, Massachusetts, Oregon, and yes, the Great White North. Okay. Big Biz Show. BigBizShow.com. Coming up, you get to peek behind the curtain of a publicly traded company. Matthew Moore with Interscope Hearing Technologies joins us in just a second.
Your kicks. Now you don't need the money when you look like that, do you, honey?
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Hey there, Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk to the world of biotech. Tomorrow is one of our biotech experts going to join us in studio. Also, Ty Pennington. Remember the handyman guy on the makeover of the America's... I forget what name. It's where they pulled the bus up and they pulled the bus away in the... Yeah, Extreme Home Makeovers, that's right. See, I think I would know this. Anyway, Ty Pennington joins us tomorrow in the studio. Pretty famous guy. Talk to him. In the meantime, another famous guy in the world of business, Matthew Moore, CEO of Interscope Hearing Technologies. Unparalleled experience, disruptive innovation. It's great to be able to pull the covers back on a publicly traded company, especially one that is in a space that we've literally never talked about before. By the way, their website is INND.com. INND.com, Interscope Hearing Technologies. They also happen to be publicly traded under that same symbol, INND. Matt is the CEO for Interscope Hearing, and of course, he's a third generation hearing expert, and he was here to talk about the fact that Interscope manufactures and distributes patented hearing aids to 48 million hearing impaired people in the U.S. However, 48 million of us don't even know that we're hearing impaired, right, Matt? Isn't that the big problem? Is that people don't even understand the level of problem that we're dealing with?
Yep, absolutely. That is correct. That's one of the unheard disabilities, let's call it. So it's actually one of those things that we need to really start talking about and really start having like public service announcements to really start getting the message out there that people need to get their hearing checked and get the help that they need and deserve.
You know, there's only 8 million people in the U.S. that were hearing aids, but you know, we're talking about, you know, 40 million that have been denied the opportunity because I'm assuming accessibility, high cost, the same type of thing?
Absolutely. That's one of the big, those are the two biggest things. And that's actually what the Obama administration and even the Trump administration both agreed on, was that due to high cost and low accessibility, the people are not getting the help that they need and deserve. And that's what Interscope is all about, is that we're offering affordable, premium, high quality, the latest technology and features to those 40 plus million Americans that need the hearing help for as low as $499.
Can I ask you this, Matt? Why do you suppose that you know, this is one of these industries that consumers just don't know about until they turn, you know, 70 years old or until something goes wrong? And why is there, I mean, you know, people talk about heart health and about how to manage your health to avoid that. Why aren't people talking, more people talking about managing their hearing health? Because it seems to me by the time you guys get clients, it's because their hearing's going south. I mean, you make a pretty good point. Untreated hearing loss is becoming an epidemic.
Exactly. And that's one of the things is that hearing loss, a person usually goes 7 to 10 years after they recognize they might have a hearing loss before they get help. So that's one of the biggest things, because people adjust their surroundings to hear better. You know, so they'll turn the TV up louder. So really the hearing loss doesn't really affect the people that actually have it. It actually affects the people around them. You know, people with that high television volume from people isolating themselves. That's the reason why untreated hearing loss is connected to depression, even higher suicide rates. That's the reason why hearing loss needs to be really a checked thing that they really need to learn and really learn about and get their hearing checked every 6 months to a year.
Hey, Matt, I want to ask you about tinnitus, because that's another issue with respect to our hearing, and that's basically ringing in the ears. It affects 350 million people worldwide. You guys have a technology for that, don't you?
Exactly. We're actually in a FDA 510K market clearance study right now, which should be done by the midsummer this year, so just about 6 months away. And we're going to be the only FDA-cleared treatment for tinnitus. Right now, there's only management devices, so we're going to be the only FDA-cleared treatment for tinnitus in the world.
So there is no FDA treatment for tinnitus at this point in the market today?
Correct. There's only management devices, no treatment.
Talk about, I want to go back and talk about a press release you guys put out just last week. And the headline reads, Interscope Hearing Technologies Launching Direct-to-Consumer Self-Fitting Hearing Aids. So that's disruptive, I'm assuming. Talk about your press release and what you guys put out there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're basically launching a product called the Nexus that is going to be a self-fitting hearing device. So a person will have an app, a smartphone app, an iOS, Android app called the Hear IQ app, which basically they will go on the app, hearing test through the app, and the app will actually program the device for you using some form of artificial intelligence to really make sure the hearing device is programmed correctly to you. So that way you would actually have the same benefits and satisfaction as compared to going to an audiologist, but you'd only pay $499 for this device versus over $2,000 if you went to a local audiologist.
So my question for you would be, do you think the problem is affordability, or is it just that lack of awareness in the space? Because, you know, I mean, 50 million people is a lot, and there's only 8 million being treated. That's a big disparity. What do you think it is? Do you think it's affordability? Do you think it's the fact that people just aren't aware, or is it a little bit of both?
It's actually a little bit of both, to be honest. And what it is that the awareness comes from it is that people think hearing loss is, oh, I'm too old or I'm too young to have a hearing loss. You know, so people think of a hearing loss as being dumb, stupid, too old. And really, hearing loss needs to be, it's just one of those things out there.
Sure.
That just like wearing eyeglasses.
Right. It's part of a regular physical. Matt, thank you so much. Can't wait to get you back in studio here in the next couple of weeks. Matthew Moore is the CEO of Interscope Hearing Technologies. Whether you're looking at the Alpha 3, the Alpha 5, the Life Ear, the Alpha 9, and of course, coming soon is their tinnitus treatment. According to Matthew, there's no FDA treatment for tinnitus on the market today, so we'll keep on taking a look at that. INND.com is their website. Okay, that does it for us. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk to Ty Pennington, famous handyman from America's Extreme Home Makeover. Rusty Nails is back, so we're going to hear about his travels and do a Live High Lie segment. All right, Chris Janik is our director, Jared Coleman, our assistant director, Curtis Matovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our composer, our editor, our keeper of keys. Catch RussIsFunny.com because RussIsFatAndBald.com is taken. Catch me on the air at Big Biz Show or at Sully Speaks. Until tomorrow, Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. See you then.